present Kenneth Williams, Sheila Hancock, Peter Jones and Alfred Marx in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to the first in our new series of Just a Minute. And as you've just heard from our announcer, we welcome back two regular players of the game in the first show of the series. That's Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones. And we're delighted to have back someone whom we'd love to be regular because she's so good at the game. That's Sheila Hancock, who's courageously stepped into the arena to do battle. And she does it very well with these tough fellows. And somebody who did so well last year, we couldn't resist asking him back. Looking as lovely as ever is Sheila Hancock and equally lovely Alfred Marx.
What are you talking about?
So, I remind you that they're going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject which is on the card in front of me. And by the way, they are allowed to repeat the subject on the card. We'll begin the series with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, what a good subject to start with. What I put into life. Would you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
With guts, gusto, rumbustiousness. These are the essential ingredients for a life that is going to have energy. We've got to give it plenty of guts and go. And
sorry, on your guts, Sheila has challenged.
Repetition of guts?
Yes.
He started with guts and he finished with guts.
Oh, I see. Yes, you were a bit too gutsy, I think, on this occasion. Okay. You spoke for 12 seconds, so that means there are 48 seconds left, and Sheila gets a point for a correct challenge. She takes over the subject of what I put into life, and she starts now.
Well, sweetness and light, I should say, was the chief feature of what I put into life. Gentleness, kindness, tolerance of all these awful people in this game, bearing the dreadful heat of this studio, so therefore I have a certain amount of forbearance, wit.
Kenneth has
hesitation.
Yes, I think that was hesitation.
Well, before saying I had wit, I had to hesitate.
She was running out of nouns that end in I-N-E-S-S, I think. 32 seconds are left, Kenneth, for what I put into life, and you've just got a point for a correct challenge, by the way, and you start now.
Perhaps it was put most beautifully by that brilliant man who wrote, I had been so great a lover, filled my day so proudly with the splendor of love's praise, the pain, the calm, and the astonishment, the desire, illimitable, and still contented all dear names men use to cheat despair. And that surely is what comedy is about. We recall the time when Ibsen said...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's told us what comedy is about, but he hasn't... He did deviate, because he should have been talking about what he puts into life.
Yes, I think, in a way, you were...
What do you think I'm doing sitting here putting into life a comedy, so therefore it's totally relevant, you great nit.
But you admit it.
Kenneth, I don't think it is irrelevant because you didn't establish...
What am I here for, I ask you?
Well, that's another question.
I think you deviated from the subject of the car because you had not established that this is what you put into life. You were talking about comedy.
And that's what it was about, he said.
I'm not going to demean myself to argue.
That'll be a change, won't it?
That'll be a first time for
everything.
Oh, well,
I see we're starting off in usual form. So, Peter, I give you a point for that and a correct challenge. So you have 13 seconds left. What I put into life starting now?
I think perhaps what I put into life is appreciation. Now, Kenneth Williams is an acquired taste, and I'm still trying to appreciate even him.
Sheila
has challenged. That was a mistake. I thought he was repeating appreciate, but he wasn't.
No, I wasn't.
But I'm afraid he gets a point for that. It was a wrong challenge. You did press your buzzer and the light came on and he stopped.
I put into life a certain generosity. I've given him a point.
Wait a minute.
It's all right, Peter. You've got a point for a wrong
challenge. Why is he rabbiting on like that?
Because everybody seems to rabbit on at this game, you know.
Well, I thought I got the subject back.
Yes, you did. Get on with it.
What are you talking about?
You haven't got it back. You haven't lost it.
That's how I lost the chairmanship of 20 questions going on like what?
4 seconds left for what I put into life starting now.
I walk along the street.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
Yes, it's a deviation, but it happened in the last break because I know Peter Jones very well. He is a thorough gentleman, and he deviated from that gentlemanly aspect by talking to Sheila Hancock, this lovely lady in my right, in the manner he did. And I don't care if it cost me a point. I had to say that.
Yeah. Yes, you see, the audience agrees.
Alfred, yeah, you'll get used to it. They always talk to me like that on this game.
Then I'm leaving.
Well, Alfred, it was very nice to hear from you, but it hasn't got you very far in the game.
No.
No, but...
He's minus one at the moment, isn't he?
No, you got another point for wrong chap.
Oh, it's really more of a chat show than a quiz game, this, isn't
it? Yes, it's right. So, 3 seconds left. What I put into life, Peter, starting now.
And I look in the windows of the shops and at the faces of the people.
Well, Ear Messiter blows his whistle when 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets the extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones. And you won't be surprised to hear that Peter's got a strong lead at the end of the first round. Alfred Marks, will you begin the second round for us? It is What I Get Out of Life. Would you talk about that for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
The subject, What I Get Out of Life, cannot possibly be divorced from the previous one, which was asked of my colleague over there, Mr. Kenneth Williams, that well-known articulate, erudite, wit, raconteur, and would-be sex maniac. He couldn't pass the physical, unfortunately. Now, it is said, as ye sow, so, S-O, shall ye reap. And it's what you put into life. You can't put anything in other than when you get out, as the thespian said to the cleric. And what I get out of life is pleasure. Call me hedonist, if you will. I don't go for jogging and running and playing billiards and snook. I'm strictly an outdoor hate. I hate outdoor. It's all wrong. I wish I was dead, and I'm sorry. What? Yes.
Well,
yes,
a kind of combination between repetition and hesitation.
And boredom.
Hate.
What are you going to go for?
I'll go for repetition of hate.
That's what I will give you that. I don't think he hesitated. He waffled an awful lot,
yes.
But he didn't hesitate. And Sheila, you have a correct challenge on hate, and there are 17 seconds left, and you have the subject, What I Get Out of Life, starting now.
What I get out of life is a great deal of hard work, tempered by the occasional moments of joy.
Kenneth.
You can't get hard work out of life. You can put hard work into life, but you can't get it out. Therefore, she was deviating.
I think that's a good challenge.
That's a very good challenge, isn't it? That's
true. Yes.
you are a very good chairman. I'm going to crawl like mad in this show.
Well, I disagree with that because...
Oh, you shut your rabbit. Nobody asked you. Just was trying to get his oar in, have you noticed?
But that...
20 questions mentioned just now. Now we're going to get the chairmanship, the verdict challenge.
Peter, just what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that Alfred had established, I think, that you get out of life what you put into it. Oh. So if Sheila had put hard work into it, it's reasonable to assume she got hard work out of it.
Peter, would you like to change places or would you like to shut up?
Well, I don't mind, really.
What would you like?
I don't mind. I'll come up there.
So, for the moment, I disagree with what you've said. I agree with what Kenneth has said. He has the subject. There are 11 seconds. What I get out of life, starting now.
A shared bonhomie, as the French... Oh, how dare you be...
You've got to speak English. It's not a foreign broadcast. You've got to speak in the English language.
Bonhomie is in the English dictionary.
How do you know?
Because I looked it up.
Oh. When?
It's also in a French dictionary as well, but it doesn't matter.
It is an English dictionary, and Fowler, who edited the OED, said it should be pronounced in an anglicized fashion because to do otherwise would be to commit an acrobatic feat with your mouth, which could only succeed in embarrassing your collocutor.
Right. Kenneth, we don't doubt you for a moment, and all that happens when he jumps in like that is you get an extra point for a wrong challenge.
Oh, good.
And we do know that you read dictionaries.
Thank you, yeah.
We do know that you're well-informed.
Nice, lovely fella.
Now I'd like to hear from you. 8 seconds on What I Get Out of Life, starting now.
Most pleasure from the very young. How delightful it is when we attend the parties, when the balloons are banged and the sweet cakes are brought out.
Well, on that occasion, at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams was speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point, and Sheila Hancock's going to begin the next round. The subject is My Wellies.
Oh.
Would you tell us something about your wellies, Sheila, in just a minute, starting now?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I boast 2 pairs of wellies. The tatty ones I wear in the country, shuffling around in mud and snow and puddles. I have another pair that have high heels and I wear in London, but they unfortunately rub my heels.
Kenneth has challenged.
2 wet pairs. I have a tatty pair and the other pair.
Yes,
yes, that's right. There are 41 seconds left, and My Wellies is the subject starting now.
Mine are particularly prone to give me abrasions, and I therefore don 2 long.
lots of hosiery. I don't want to mention the other word, lest I later be accused of repetition. Now, in very wet weather, or snow and slush, these are the only way.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, slush is the same as wet weather.
But it's a different word.
Yes, but it's terribly boring. Listening to all that.
It might be boring, but it wasn't deviating from the subject.
No? All right.
Well tried. There are 18 seconds left on my wellies, Kenneth, starting now.
The other use to which they can be put is shoved under a drain pipe, and thus you collect water, which in these times of emergency...
Alfred is challenged.
I don't know of many drain pipes that would take a full-size welly. One could put a galosha underneath
What drain pipes you're familiar with, mate. You don't know anything about my drain pipes. You've never been round my place. What a nerve, sitting there pontificating about drain pipes. You know nothing about them. What do you know about plumbing? What? You couldn't even change your washer. Look at him, he's gone white. Sits there, what a nerve.
You've obviously touched on...
Interrupting one of your great pundits. I know more about plumbing than you about dinners.
You've touched on a very sensitive area there, Albert.
You've been rude to everybody now.
How dare you?
But you haven't deviated, so you have 12 seconds to continue on my well is starting now.
Me? Yes. I'll continue with it? Yes. Oh, I had no idea I was unprepared for it.
Alfred Marks has challenged.
Well, you mean my challenge was not accepted?
Yes, your challenge is accepted. What is it?
I said that it was a deviation, you see.
No, that was hesitation just
hesitation
there.
Hesitation,
yes, right,
then.
Yes, that's so what you got I said. The subject.
But I would just... you notice I kept terribly quiet during that
I know, you were very hurt, I could see that.
Well, no, it's not that, but if my writers were here, I'd certainly have an ad lib.
We get on with the game now. There are 10 seconds left. Alfred Marx has the subject, and there are 10 seconds left. My welly is starting now.
It is not commonly known, but welly is an abbreviation for Wellington, which was named for the Duke of, who had them made for him during a battle because he was walking through snow, slush, rain...
Well, Alfred Marx was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point. He's got other points in the round. He's moved into third place ahead of Sheila Hancock. Peter Jones is now in second place. But Kenneth Williams has got a strong lead.
What a way to treat a guest.
Yes.
Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, sewing. Would you talk on that for just a minute, starting now?
Well, bottomly, the famous or infamous...
I'm afraid there was.
Yes, I
did. I can't wonder why he dried. There are 47 seconds on sewing, starting now.
I visited the orthopedic hospital quite recently and had some extremely delicate sewing done on my own body, and it is something which I shall be everlastingly grateful. In fact, people who have said to me afterwards, "Where is the scar?" have great difficulty in locating this, because the peripheral surgery carried out was so delightfully minuscule that it would take the trained eye, or indeed a telescopic view, to make out where it originated and where it did not.
And Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of where?
Yes, I'm afraid there was. Peter, you have the subject back, and you have 20 seconds left. Sewing starting now.
Well, this man I was telling you about earlier was a crook, and he was in prison.
Kenneth Williams has
repetition, he's told us about him earlier.
Yes, but I didn't mention his name.
Actually, Kenneth, he didn't tell us anything because you challenged
he
after
told
3 seconds.
He was called Bottomley and that he was infamous or famous or something. He was a crook anyway.
He only told us about 3 seconds. And you interrupted him and got the challenge. And so, anyway, he wasn't deviating from sewing, so he keeps the subject, and there are 17 seconds left starting now.
He was serving his time in Shrewsbury Jail sewing mailbags, and a visitor said, "Are you sewing, Bottomley?" And he said, "No, reaping." Which I think is a rather delightful little anecdote about one of the most colourful characters of the early part of this century, who took his needle...
Yes, you gained an extra point. You're only 1 point behind our leader, who's still Kenneth Williams. And
a
Kenneth,
leader.
We're back with you.
He's not my leader.
You shut your mouth.
Go on, you're doing very nicely, Nick.
Go on.
Am I?
You're doing lovely. Pay no notice of them.
How long will that last from you?
That'll be all right. Go on.
Right, a subject specially thought up for you by Ian Messett, I'm sure. Maximilian I, Duke of Bavaria.
Oh, no.
Now, our budding historian Kenneth Williams will talk on that for just a minute, if he can, starting now.
Well, he was a member of the Wittelsbach line. They were about 1200 to 1918. He was the leader, as I understand it, of the Catholic League, and got his comeuppance from Ferdinand II through helping to defeat Frederick the Winter King, who was married, of course, to that delightful woman, Elizabeth of Bohemia, whose son was Rupert, who was that incredible cavalry commander, and their daughter Sophia, who married George the Elector of Hanover. Well, now, that, of course, did lead to a great raising of the fortunes of the dynasty, because eventually they controlled the whole of the Upper Palatinate and became the Grand Kingdom of Bavaria, with titles not of duke, but of monarchs. Then, there, you see, that gave rise in turn.
Sheila Hancock has judged.
I'm going to regret this. Hesitation.
Well, he stumbled, didn't he? Whether a stumble's a hesitation or not. This is one
well,
of those...
Well, it always has been in this game.
No, you're quite right. You're quite right, Sheila. She's playing the game, and after all, she's a lady. And therefore...
when
such generosity in this game comes from Kenneth Williams, I can only say, I'm sure you're right, Kenneth.
Well, he'll get it back immediately, because I know absolutely nothing about the Duke of Bavaria.
Well,
why did you...
We'll soon find out.
Well, because you hesitated, and I have to. It's in the rules.
You don't have to.
You're opening a trap door for your...
Yes. Story of my life, Ken.
You're
you should
a
know that.
Brave girl.
Well, you have 13 seconds, Sheila, to stand above
the...
13 seconds are left for you to stand above that trap door. Our Maximilian I, Duke of Bavaria, starting now.
Maximilian I, Duke of Bavaria, was a very fine man, a Catholic, a true and honourable member of that faith, and in fact fought very hard on behalf...
Most brilliant bit of hanging it out I've ever heard.
Oh, absolutely marvellous. Whether you knew she was even Catholic or not...
But he said he was Catholic, that's
how I did it. It was so clever. She picked out one thing that he was a Catholic and just went on about what a good Catholic he was. Very clever, Sheila. You deserve that point when the whistle went and you're now in third place.
And why were you saying Barbary? It's Bavaria. Why did you say Barbary?
I never said Barbary.
You said Bavaria.
Bavaria.
Why Bar? It's Bavaria. There's never been any bars on it.
Oh, don't be pompous.
I'm only telling you for your own sake.
You keep your Bavarias and others will have their Bavarias.
I'm only telling you for your own sake.
You were talking about bonhomie recently, the anglicised pronunciation, and the anglicised pronunciation is Bavaria.
Bavaria? Really?
Yes.
Well, that's news to me. I never knew that. Of course, we learn something every day, don't we?
You've got to look it up in your dictionary when you get back and find out. Alfred Marks, look back.
You're absolutely right. I have my car parked in Hanover Square.
Hanover Square?
You're quite right, Nicholas. Yeah.
All right, Alf, now it's your turn. Right, Alfred Marks, we're back with you. The subject is topical for us over here, water sorcery. Oh.
Come on.
Oh, you see how I've... So I'll just
hesitation.
Have a yeah.
Oh, doesn't count.
Water shortages. You have just a minute to talk on water shortages, starting now.
The proverb says, every cloud has a silver lining. This should properly be attributed to an East End tailor making suits for the angels. However, to those of us in this sceptred isle, the water shortage is not a funny subject at all. And if you think we are suffering here, may I tell you that during the last war, I was a very proud member of His Majesty's Royal Air Force and was stationed in the Western Desert, where I supported the 8th Army, known as the Desert Rats. And there we were rationed to water, one half water bottle per man per day, and that's a repeat, and I'm sorry I started.
Oh, it was so interesting.
It was very good. Go on.
Thank you.
I just give you a tip. Sometimes if you keep going with enough panache, they overlook it or forget it.
Yes.
But Sheila did challenge. So what's your challenge, Sheila?
Well, I challenged because it was a repetition of purr.
Yes.
Like a pussycat.
Yes.
But I'll do it badly so you can
well,
get
actually,
it back.
It's a Birmingham purr, which means two.
Keep your finger on the trigger and I'll give you a quick
hesitate. 29 seconds, Sheila, for water shortages starting now.
Well, I'm very lucky because I've got a natural well in my garden, so I, in fact, have been watering my garden with...
Alfred has got it back, yes.
Yes. It was a repeat, wasn't it?
Now,
yes.
The garden. Yes,
thank you, Sheila.
And there are 23 seconds left and water shortages is back with you, Alfred, starting now.
And there, when we were rationed, water was so precious that even Hitler was known to say to his general Rommel, verstummte in der einklandernde Wasser und die englischen Soldaten bespielen sind entwandert und diese nicht klammen gewährt standen und diese abgehen, weil nicht gewonnen der Krieg geschmerzt waren und diese abgehen dran sind und diese klammen bei der Öde blicken. Oh, would you rather be a fish?
Alfred, you were challenged by Peter Jones on the Einer Schwürten Skaldken bitten Stelzkamp.
Yes, repetition of that. What do you say?
I'm going to put this to the audience.
No way.
Did Alfred Marx repeat himself on his German gibberish? And if you think he did, you cheer for Alfred. All right, you don't even have to cheer. You're all booing for me. Alfred, they think that you didn't repeat yourself. You keep the subject. You have 4 seconds. Water shortages starting now.
Even Mussolini was known to say to his troops, "Bei sten, dove non ci vede mai, gioi cavanti."
Ah, well, an interesting situation is developing in the score because Alfred got a lot of marks in that round, including one for speaking when the whistle went. He's moved... Well, it's... Sheila's 1 point behind Alfred, he's one behind Peter Jones, and Peter's still one behind our leader, Kenneth Williams. Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin the subject, curry.
Oh.
Will you tell us something about that hot subject in just a minute, starting now?
Well, talking of it as a food, I get enormous masochistic pleasure out of eating curry. The hotter, the better. It does, in fact, make me very ill the next day.
Kenneth Williams,
hesitation, I'm afraid.
I agree.
Well, I was going to say something.
She had a mouthful of curry. It's not easy.
I was going to be indelicate, so
yes.
I stopped myself.
Well, it's in the Bible, so I wouldn't worry. There are
curry?
No, the way it makes you the day after.
Oh, yeah, really?
The great wind came upon Jerusalem.
The 49 seconds are left for curry, and Kenneth Williams has the subject starting now.
The Madras curry is particularly hot, and I would advise anyone starting off with the Oriental foods to be very careful about taking that particular dish. On the other hand, there are lovely things which always accompany it, like poppadoms and ladies' fingers. And for a sweet, what better after the curry than bindi...
Alfred,
I think that was a definite hesitation.
Well, Kenneth does go rather slowly sometimes. I don't think he hesitated then. He was on the edge of it, but I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say, Kenneth, you didn't hesitate, but don't go any slower or you will. And there are 23 seconds left on curry starting now.
Fawning and sycophancy can be roughly called currying favour. And this is done in many government departments in England. There is a lot of crawling going on. And I want to know why I'm not in on it. Nobody's pushing me. Now, I should be. I've tried to curry favour with more people than...
Alfred Marx, the challenge.
A favour?
Yes, there's a repetition of favour.
Well, all right, I'll give it to you. I'm generous. I don't mind.
You can't do anything else, Kenny. He's got it legitimately. There are 3 seconds left. Just before the whistle goes, Alfred Marx is in there on curry, starting now.
Mandimbe on badanya curry. Non ti mai.
Waiting for Alfred Marx to do a round in English.
It may very well happen.
It's because you started about
these foreign
broadcasts.
Moved up again, Alfred. You're 2 points behind our leader, who's Kenneth Williams, but you're also in second place. You've overtaken Peter Jones. But Peter's beginning the next round. The subject's a lot of bother. Peter, having had some curry, there's a lot of bother. And that's the subject, just a minute, starting now.
Well, it sounds to me like a typical English understatement describing some huge and monstrous calamity that has occurred to the person speaking it. And it's a kind of thing that these...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, hesitation, I'm sure.
Yes, I agree with you, Kenneth. And there are 47 seconds left, and you now take over a lot of bother starting now.
It happened to me once on the football field. A considerable amount of bother, and they came around me and said, "You are not playing the game." Now, I was affecting, at the time, an impersonation of Winston Churchill and was using my pencil as symbolic of a cigar. Do you see? And quite funny, I thought. And I was standing there doing this, and they said, "Here."
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
I suggest he's deviating. What is he doing with a pencil being Winston Churchill while playing football?
I think he was trying to establish he was causing a lot of bother on the football field, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because I gave him the benefit the last time, Sheila, and say that you have 27 seconds left and the subject's a lot of bother starting now.
Well, there are so many things in life that are a lot of bother. Getting your hair done, phoning the electricity board.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
Well, it doesn't apply to me at all. I think it's a deviant.
I would have thought, Alfred, that it would have been a lot of bother to have got your hair done.
No. On the contrary, no, not at all. They put a basin around it and that's it. They work from the top down.
So what is your challenge?
It was a comic challenge, really. I just wanted to tell the audience I'm bald.
But you have got something at the side.
Sorry?
You have got something at the side. You're not...
Don't tell the wife, for God's sake.
You're not a complete Kojak.
No, not complete. I'm a sort of a co.
Right. It was 21 seconds, a lot of bother, Sheila, starting now.
In fact, I have now reminded myself that making a telephone call at all is a lot of bother. You invariably get a cross line, which in fact is rather fun. Then you try again and you get that noise, which means that it's a wrong number.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
You get a cross line and then you get to wrong numbers too. You get...
Yes.
Right, you wait. Left. If you say is twice now, I'm going to challenge you.
Oh, there were two words, Sheila. Be fair, it was you get. Not just
all right.
There are 6 seconds, Kenneth, on a lot of bother starting now.
I had it when I was fire watching, and I was called upon to shove the sandbags on these incendiaries, and I did it with tremendous gallantry.
I meant they brave it.
Well, once again, Kenneth Williams was speaking when the whistle went and he got that extra point. And all that's happened is it increased his lead, but I've also received a message that we have no more time to play just a minute. So let me give you the final score. Sheila Hancock and Peter Jones finished equal in third place. They had 7 points apiece. Oh. And only 1 point ahead was Alfred Marx, who hasn't played quite so often and did very well with all his foreign characters that he introduced to the game. And but he was 4 points behind this week's winner, Kenneth Williams. We hope you have enjoyed the first of the series, and we'll be with you again at the same time next week. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.
Sheila Hancock is in The Bed Before Yesterday at the Lyric Theatre, London.